This summer, click into cordless power with Memorial Day savings at the Home Depot. Tackle more than half an acre of grass with the convenience and gas-like power of the Ryobi 40-volt battery-powered mower. And keep your flower beds looking fresh with the 40-volt cordless string trimmer. Then clear leaves and debris with the 40-volt leaf blower. No cords, no gas, no hassle. Click into Memorial Day savings happening now at the Home Depot and on homedepot.com. How doers get more done.
Thank you for traveling with Amex Platinum. To your right, you'll see Oceanside Relaxation at a fine hotel and resort property. When booked through Amex Travel, you can enjoy complimentary breakfast for 2 and 4 p.m. late checkout. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
You know our trusted partner, TireRack.com, for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Michelin Cross Climate 2. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
The Volume.
This week on Prime Cuts, John Middlecoff, host of 3 and Out, on the Bears winning the offseason. Nick Wright on LeBron James, and my top takes of the week. So it's 2024, and let's talk about something really, really important. If you're ever injured, check out Morgan & Morgan. It's America's largest injury law firm, and they are there for you. Over 100 offices nationwide. Think about that. More than 1,000 lawyers with over $20 billion, that's a B, $20 billion recovered for over 500,000 clients. Things happen in life unexpectedly. Submitting an injury claim with Morgan & Morgan is really, really easy. Like winning in the NFL is hard. We know that quarterbacking in the NFL is hard. Submitting a claim is easy. You're ever injured? Check out Morgan & Morgan. Their fee is free unless they win. For more information, go to forthepeople.com/Colin or dial pound law from your cell phone. Pretty easy. That's forthepeople.com/Colin or pound law, pound 529 from your cell. Morgan & Morgan has a proven track record of fighting for you to get a full and fair compensation if there's an unexpected accident in your life. This is a paid advertisement. John Middlecoff, former NFL scout, 3 and Out is his podcast. Everybody always wants to know who wins the draft. I've had the same formula as long as I can remember, and I usually do it on the Monday after the draft. I'm not going to project how great your 4th, 5th, 6th, and 7th round picks are, but I will judge your offseason based on your free agent signings and your first 2 or 3 picks where I get more certainty. I think the Chicago Bears are a completely different football team, with Keenan Allen, DeAndre Swift, Gerald Everett, Caleb Williams, and Rome Odunze. That's a completely different offense. So if you're asking me who won the offseason in terms of personnel, my take is Chicago won't even look the same. I thought Green Bay got better, but I don't think Chicago will even look the same. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, listen, it's hard not to like Chicago. I mean, what they've done in the last 12 months. I think that trade that Ryan Poles made, it's got to go down as one of the great trades of all time. Yeah. I mean, it really does.
And to it's get one DJ that Carolina Moore. Would like.
Yeah, and to get rid of, basically, they traded all that for Bryce Young. That if you could do a redo, they would laugh in your face and Carolina would throw in picks to swap it back. So, yeah, I think the hype on Caleb, which is the nature of this beast, the same thing happened to Trevor Lawrence. He does not need to be immediately a superstar. He just needs to be solid. Right. And they should be good because last year they could have been a playoff team if their quarterback could have just functioned from the pocket.
Right.
Couldn't function from the pocket. Now you add Keenan Allen and Rome Odunze. You know the best part about Rome Odunze? He doesn't have to do that much. Like he was the lead dog at Washington, which had about 15 guys drafted, it felt like. And he was a fantastic player, but he gets to ease in.
Yeah.
A lot of people like Marvin Harrison, we talked about this last on Thursday, has no choice. Anything less than 80, 90 catches. They're not getting enough out of him given what in his group. So Rome, if he just has 45, 50 catches, maybe 6 touchdowns, you're awesome. Even though it's the 9th pick, you'd like a little more. But given this team this year, Keenan probably be only there 1 year, so next year he takes a bigger jump. But they're not as dependent on their young wide receiver as a lot of teams are when they draft a guy high.
They're also going to have a fourth place schedule, so
that helps.
Yeah, and
listen, division's hard. The division's hard. It might be the best division in football.
I think offensively, I've said this. I think last time we were on, you could make a Pro Bowl offense out of that division that could compete easily with the NFL. I mean, it's there's just stars everywhere. And I also thought, I'll say this about the NFC North, I thought Green Bay, if you count Josh Jacobs, Xavier McKinney in free agency, upgraded back, really good safety, along with Jordan Morgan, the tackle from Arizona, Edgerrin Cooper, the linebacker, A&M, who I heard the Rams like, Bullard, the safety from Georgia. Like, that's five really good players. Green Bay, you know, it's interesting. If you told me two teams that draft well the last decade, I would actually say Green Bay and Tampa, but they're so divergent in terms of success because one gets the quarterback right and one hasn't. I always feel with Jason Light, if you go look at Tampa's first four picks, I loved him. I think he's one of the best drafters in the league. They can't get quarterback right. The difference is, and by the way, classic Michael Pratt, who fell to the seventh, Green Bay gets him. He won't see the field for 3 years. And you look up, he's a big kid, 6'3", 220, not a huge arm, but you look up in 3 years and be like, oh, that's a functional starter in the NFL. But that division, you know, it's really interesting about Chicago, Green Bay, Detroit, Minnesota. Minnesota may be the most talented potential fourth place team that I can remember. I was doing this over the course of the weekend. I was writing down everybody's 10 best players in that division. There is not much that separates Detroit and Minnesota. Like, it's inches. Not if Darnold plays well, you could see Minnesota to the last weekend competing.
Well, isn't it a good example? Use Jason Light. They had no quarterback. They insert Brady at 42 years old and just start dominating, right? So if they would have had the same roster, you would have put Aaron Rodgers. Same thing would have happened. Look at last year. Baker had, 75% of his season was pretty solid, and they were a playoff team, and they kicked the Eagles' ass. And they were right there in the second playoff game with the Lions. So the quarterback position, which I'm sure we'll talk about, is so important. But I'm with you. Like, I think Green Bay is going to be very, very dependent on this Jeff Hafley, the guy that they hired from Boston College, who was very well thought of. Kyle Shanahan really liked him. The Ohio State, when Ryan Day first got the job, made him a co-defensive coordinator. But he's got to be good, because that's really been the downfall of their operation, right? Just, and really goes back to McCarthy with some of their great teams.
No question.
With Aaron Rodgers. And listen, McVay, what do? Defense right away. Kyle Shanahan, what's he always doing? Defense. They're all the top teams, even Dan Campbell, their first two picks, corners, and they've invested heavily in the defensive line. So you're playing a lot of teams in your conference. Howie Roseman over the last couple of years, Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis, Cooper DeJean, Mitchell, the Talib. It's just defense. They just invest in that side of the ball. We know Green Bay, and now LaFleur is well established. They're going to score a lot of points, and they have explosive players.
Yeah.
Jacobs, I think Josh Jacobs is a better player than Saquon Barkley. I mean, that guy is, when he's healthy, he's a top two or three running back in the NFL. But it's going to come down to defense. And like you said, in that division, listen, I don't know how good Sam Darnold's going to be, but if you catch him on the right day with those offensive weapons, they could score 35 points.
Yeah.
So it's just, you better, a lot of pressure's on that hire. You know, you got rid of Joe Barry, who was his buddy. It wasn't going as well. It's not all his fault. Sometimes it's the players too. But they have invested a lot of picks, right? The Packers have on that side of the ball over the last half decade. A ton of high round picks on defense.
What Jerry doesn't want to do is get trapped with Dak Prescott. And I thought it was strategic. I thought that was Jerry Jones saying, listen, we're gonna rely on you, Dak, this year. We're not giving you all this ammo. We're going to rebuild the offensive line. You'll get protection. But in a contract year, the last thing I'm going to do is load you up with weapons. Dak's production's absolutely going to come down. I mean, they just don't have a running back of note on the roster. And people could say, well, you're tanking the year. They're not tanking the year. They'll be a good football team. But it felt strategic to me to not address running back and really, frankly, not address receiver until in the sixth round. That didn't feel like just a bad stroke of luck to me.
I'm torn because it's hard for me to be critical whenever you go offensive and defensive line early in the draft, which they have, and they're a good drafting team.
Yeah.
Bad running back draft. But let's face it, Colin, until they give him a contract extension, which they should not, to me, this is him and McCarthy are playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
I mean, this guy, let's face it, they paid him a lot of money a couple years ago off the broken ankle, and he's been really good in the regular season. In the playoffs, 2 out of 3 years, he was atrocious. I mean, he was really bad 3 years ago against the Niners and this year in that first half, and the game was over. Wasn't all his fault, but he did not play winning football.
Right.
The price has gone up dramatically since they gave him $40 million a year just because of the market, right? So can you give Dak Prescott $55 million a year?
I can't.
He's better than Tua, but I say the same thing about Tua. If you're in that business long-term, you're signing up at best to be a one-and-done playoff team. And the other thing is, let's face it, the Eagles have a lot more talent on their roster.
Yeah.
Dramatically more, top to bottom.
You
look at a team.
Look at this. I mean, A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith, Saquon Barkley, better at tight end, and an athlete in their prime at quarterback. I mean, and Lane Johnson at right tackle. I don't think it's necessarily close. I mean, I think you're being kind saying they have more talent. I think it's lopsided in favor of Philly.
Well, and if Micah Parsons is the best defensive player of the group, it's not like the Eagles haven't invested in that side the last couple of years in the draft with Jalen Carter, Jordan Davis. They just draft. They get the top corner in this draft with Cooper DeJean as their second-round pick, who a lot of people had, and Howie even said, we had a first-round grade on him as well. Darius Slay is an older player, but he's still a solid starter. They'll get rid of Bradbury. The Eagles, and now you add Fangio and Kellen Moore to the mix, because last year their coaches really let them down. Like, to me, this is anything less, like one takeaway after the draft for the NFC East, I don't think the Giants are very good. Washington's in this rebuild mode. The Eagles have no excuse not to win this division.
That's right.
I mean, last year they imploded. Dallas kind of lucked into it at the end, remember? But this should not, like, there should be a 2 or 3 game difference. Now, I think Dallas is going to be good. I'm talking, you know, 9-10 wins. But the Eagle, there should be a gap between the two teams.
I don't think there's any question. And listen, there's a line with Dak Prescott. If he does not get 100 yards run support, Dak wins about 35% of his games. So it did feel like, to me, they got the cap issue. So you had to address running back in the draft. You're not going to find running back.
Really exist. You just got to get lucky with an undrafted free agent, basically. You're keeping your fingers crossed.
You know, I thought Harbaugh was going to have, there were going to be more fireworks with the Chargers. I did think they got a couple of really interesting pieces, a couple of small school guys. But I think by and large, the Joe Alt pick was interesting because they have a left tackle, though Slater had an injury. And Alt's kind of he's an athlete. He was a high school basketball player. He's moved around. He's a very good athlete.
Pictures after we got off of him sitting with his family, how massive that human being is?
So, it's one of those things where I never bought into them taking a wide receiver. I just didn't buy it. And everybody's mock draft had them at receiver. And I'm thinking, that's just not what they're not going to get some skinny kid from LSU. I mean, to me, the pick made sense. But I didn't think the Chargers had that many fireworks. I thought they did just basic stuff, played in the gym. You know, I think they got a linebacker, if I recall, from the Michigan, but I didn't think there was a ton of fireworks with the Chargers.
You know, what's funny is most people up until the last couple weeks, when I think a lot of people around the NFL, like, Jim's not taking a wide receiver, guys. So we can stop talking about that. But even the second pick in Ladd McConkey, you know, a lot of people have been like, go get Herbert, go trade up and get a Xavier Worthy or, you know, get Keon Coleman, the guy the Bills took. And he took Ladd McConkey, you know, who's going to end up, to me, being more Edelman, Wes Welker,
can
play right in the slot receiver. Jim's not into this sexy football. He's not trying to be, you know, Lane Kiffin or Lincoln Riley. That's not the way he coaches. He coaches like he's prepared to play Mike Ditka and Joe Gibbs back in 1988.
Yeah.
And that's the way that's been successful up into him. 3 months ago when he won the national championship. Fundamentally, and I think when he said, we view offensive linemen as weapons, he's not making a joke. He's being serious as a heart attack because he truly believes that. So Justin Herbert, like they are, I'm actually a little shocked that they didn't get Blake Corum. I'm pissed the Rams did. I love that pick. But that it's just, he's going to, the football is going to look no different than if you pull up Stanford year one in 08. It's going to look the exact same. And it looked the same in the 49ers early on in Michigan. He changed for a minute. Remember when he hired Gattis, the spread guy from Alabama, and he hated it.
Yeah.
And he hated it. And then who became his right-hand man? Sherrone Moore, what's he? An O-line coach. And that guy became the head. Those are the people he likes. You see these videos coming out of him at the trailer park. It was not the trailer park, but you know, where he lived, right with Greg Roman. What do they talk about? Running game, offensive linemen. They're all that hybrid of the Ravens, of him. They're all interconnected. And I'm just, honestly, if you would have told me he would have drafted all offensive and defensive linemen, those were the only picks, no wide receivers, 2 weeks ago, I would have believed you. I mean, that's not how it played out, but he thinks he can win. If he's winning at that group, he can figure the rest out through, I would say, psychological and physical warfare, because he wants to shove you around. And let's face it, most teams in the NFL, you know, when you look at, like, once we get to the final four, the final eight, it's a lot of physical teams.
Yeah.
And the soft teams, some teams that can score, they got no shot. They got no shot. And you look at the final four, who was it? It was the Niners. It was the Ravens. It was the Chiefs. What have the Lions become under Dan Campbell? Dan Campbell's got a little Jim Harbaugh in him.
Yeah.
Right? And I would say they throw it a little more than Jim, but that's part of it's their weapons. St. Brown's a fantastic player. But it starts with the offensive and defensive lines with them. And that's where they've invested the last couple.
Well,
even St. Brown. Jim would love St. Brown. So would Kyle Shanahan. He's their type, breaks tackles. He's not some sexy outside wide receiver, despite his stats.
The NBA playoffs are heating up. Man, they have been so good. I know it's over, but Lakers-Nuggets may have been a five-game series. It was great. Knicks, Sixers, amazing. Why don't you sign up for the DraftKings Sportsbook app? It takes 90 seconds. The official sports betting partner of the NBA. If you're in DraftKings, once you sign up, you got to check this out. New customers bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets instantly. Great proposition, right? $5, you get $150. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app. The code's Colin, C-O-L-I-N. It's me, C-O-L-I-N. Really quick, really easy. If you've never bet sports before, check it out. Really makes the games fun. The code is Colin. New customers get $150 in bonus bets by betting $5 only on DraftKings. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Or in West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 and over, age varies by jurisdiction. Void in Ontario. One no-sweat bet per new customer. Issued as one bonus bet based on amount of initial losing bet. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/promos for deposit, wagering, and eligibility restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources.
Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney+. On Disney+, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truths and lies in the spy thriller The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney Plus, available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit disneyplus.com/Hulu for details.
There are some things that are too good to keep a secret. Like how your Amex Platinum card helps you have the perfect trip. I'd like to check into the Centurion Lounge. Or how it seems like you always get those hard-to-snag tables.
Ooh, yum.
And how you get the most out of select can't-miss events. With access to the Centurion Lounge, Resi Priority Notify, and Amex card member benefits at select events, you'll have to share. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in a bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com. Or download the app today.
So I went, and it was interesting. I went and looked at all my divisions. So we're basically through it now. We have new coaches. We have free agency. Staffs are all filled out. We have the draft. And I'll just do the first and last place teams. And stop me. I'm gonna go.
This is what you think coming up, or this was based on last year?
This season I have Buffalo first, New England last. Baltimore first, Cleveland last. Cleveland had a weird draft.
Cincy could be a wild card there if Burrow's healthy.
Yeah, I put them second. Kansas City first, Raiders last. Tough division, Houston first, Tennessee's an easy last. Philly first, I have Giants last.
I'm with it.
Detroit first, Minnesota last, though it's close. Atlanta first, New Orleans last, or Carolina, kind of question mark. I have the Rams first, and I have Seattle last. I think the Rams are – I thought they really nailed their first four picks. I thought they really – yeah. Is anything – so we can argue about the second and third teams, but any of those first and last you would push back on?
Yeah, let's talk about McVay, because I thought he's a good example of what Kyle and Andy and these offensive coaches have invested in physical players, because they know that they can scheme guys open.
Yep.
And he invests his first pick in Verse, who's been a viewed as a first rounder this
whole
year.
They loved him. I sure heard a month ago they loved him.
This second round pick, one of the guy when I started at Fresno State, we had a student assistant who has worked his way up, and he's been with Oregon State. He's been the GM for Florida State for like the last 3 years. And he's Derek Ray. He's, you know, if we talked about college GMs like we do NFL GMs, I mean, look at his draft. I mean, look how many guys at Florida State were just picked. He's done a great job working hand in hand with Norvell. I said, what, this Brandon Fisk guy, Braden Fisk, tell me about him. He said, think Max Crosby, but inside. So their first two picks, you know, we know that's how Verse kind of plays power. That's what this guy plays. So you're never going to replace Aaron Donald, but they go back-to-back picks basically in what, 15, 20 pick, because they traded up. They got Fisk in the top 40. So they invest immediately, and they get Blake Corum, who, if he's healthy, we've seen how this guy was the heartbeat of one of the better college football programs we've seen over the last 20 years.
Yeah.
I mean, this is like Jim Harbaugh's favorite player since Frank Gore. So I think the gap shrunk a little bit. And I think Kyle Shanahan showed you something drafting that wide receiver in the first round. Deebo Samuel could not get open in the Super Bowl. He can't run routes. And I'm not trying to talk shit about Deebo. I love him. A lot of stuff he does in football, I admire a lot, the physicality, the ability to make plays. But he is limited as a wide receiver. He can't get open.
Right.
And I think Kyle was tired of it. And it's not, at this point in time, it's not going to change. He kind of is what it is. So maybe Deebo moving forward, you're going to be on this new kickoff return guy, and you'll kind of come in with McCaffrey in the backfield. But we need to have wide receivers like Ayuk who can run routes.
Right.
And because, like, look at the Rams. They got a bunch of guys that can run routes. I can't scheme up every single play. We got guys on defense. We got guys on offense. But they drafted Pearsall. Like, that clearly was something that rattled Shanahan, just like McVay. Like, we need to be even more physical if we're going to get over that hump against all these great offenses. And they double down. So I think those two teams, right there with the Lions, right there with the Packers, right there with the Eagles. Like, it's pretty clear with the NFC who the cream of the crop is, right?
Yeah, and I also think you have to take this into consideration is Deebo, McCaffrey's had injuries in his career, Trent, Kittle. You can't have your four top guys all feel like they're older than their age. Like, if you have – Ayuk is a kid, right? He's just moving into his prime. If you're going to move off – and next year they have to address left tackle because Trent is a wall. But I'm with you. I look at the NFC and I think it's – I mean, the Rams were so much better than everybody thought. I knew going into the weekend they felt Brock Bowers could start for him. Two of the defensive ends they thought were really good, the UCLA kid and Jared Verse. They loved those two. And then I knew they loved a couple different defensive linemen, and the Florida State guy, Fisk, is one of them. And then I felt Blake – I mean, I knew they loved Corum. But, I mean, they – when people got on them for giving up a second-round pick and a fifth to move up, they really felt like they needed two starters in the defensive line, a great backup, running back for Kyren Williams and a playmaking guy in the back, the Miami kid. Like, they didn't have a lot of needs. A lot of their stuff after those picks, interior lineman, kicker, the Texas receiver is really a special teams guy. Otherwise, they would have taken Taj Washington from USC, who they liked a lot, but they needed a special teams guy. So, I mean, I think a lot of these teams come into the weekend, the NFC teams, and the Rams are one of them. I think people forget this. For the elite teams, and I consider the Rams in a group of about seven or eight, they come in kind of thinking, we need two starters and like two really crucial productive backups. But I've never had a problem, John, with giving away picks to go get up and get a guy. Nick Wright stops by. We'll chop it up. The playoffs have been absolutely riveting. Can't turn it off.
The
amazing.
Playoffs have been electric. Electric.
And then, by the way, this is the first round. This is the round you can look past. So my take on, I never mind people who are pushback, contrarian. But I do feel you and I are pretty honest about, yeah, I was either wrong or I can literally think two things. Load management pisses me off and the NBA is great. It's just not great in January.
Well, and things, everything has become, it feels so tribal.
Yes.
That you, it is, everything is the way a diehard fan of a specific sports team, the way a diehard fan of Alabama football roots for Alabama football, is basically how a huge percentage of people deal with every aspect of their life. I fucking love it. So everything about it is correct and anyone criticizing it is wrong, as opposed to any type of, I love this, didn't like this, this is good, this is bad. Anyone that acts as if the NBA, folks have been like, NBA's dying. It's obviously not true. Anybody though acting as if that there aren't aspects to the overwhelming and what is about to be under the new TV deal, $100 million a year contracts that complicate a lot of the day-to-day factors of the league, They're being intellectually dishonest, in my opinion. I do think, and I maybe have mentioned this to you, I know I mentioned it on my pod, but I do think the NBA made a strategic error this season. So I'm going to tell, I'm going to do a Colin Cowherd in a bit. I'm going to give an anecdote or a story. It'll get there. So a guy who you know, I'm sure, Connor Schell.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was a big executive at ESPN, helped start 30 for 30s. Now he runs a company of his own. Oddly, his father and my mom worked together when I was a little kid. So I knew Connor as a little kid. And I never really knew exactly what his dad did, and maybe I'm wrong, but as a little kid, what it was described to me as, he was in charge of long-term strategy, meaning like when Sprint came out with a new phone, his job would be like, okay, when this phone is bordering on obsolete, how are we going to sell the last 100 of them? You know what I mean? Like long-term thinking. And I think the NBA needed someone in that role 18 months ago to say, guys, here is all of NBA history and ages of guys on their last playoff run. Is it on the board that we just had the final LeBron deep playoffs, Steph deep playoffs, Durant deep playoffs? These guys, is it possible, in fact, overwhelmingly likely, that one, two, or all of them aren't going to be around when the calendar turns to May? If so, is it worthwhile for us to take a short-term regular season ratings hit by featuring the Oklahoma City Thunder, the Minnesota Timberwolves, these teams to prime the audience that this is where our league's going? And they didn't do that. Instead, it was Warriors, Lakers, Suns, these guys. So I do wonder if this second round of the playoffs, when you have Nuggets, Timberwolves, and when you have Thunder, maybe Mavs,
yeah.
If people are going to see a ratings dip, it won't affect the new TV contract, all of that, but because the audience doesn't know, this is their league now. Colin, if the Bucks lose this series, they're down 3-2, yeah. And if the Clippers lose this series,
yeah,
the oldest star player left in the playoffs,
Luka.
Kyrie. Is Kyrie, who's 30, just turned 32. Everyone will be gone. Like Joker, who's 28 or 29, will be like the third oldest star left. The Clippers are all old guys. They're on the, I think, going to lose. The Lakers are already out. The Warriors didn't make it. The Suns are out. The Bucks are on the brink. Like, this is a massive storming of the gates of the 20-somethings, but everyone should have expected it. When Kobe Bryant's last playoff game ever, he was 32. Michael Jordan was 35. Like, you guys don't play. People saw what LeBron did, so they thought Steph and Durant and Kawhi and Paul George are going to do it. Nobody else is going to do it. Steph and KD already exceeded age expectations. So I think the NBA made a mistake there. I also think my favorite 2 months of the year are the NBA playoffs.
Yeah.
My favorite 20 days of the year are my 20 NFL Sundays. And my favorite 2 months of the year are the NBA playoffs.
Yeah, I don't disagree. Last weekend, the draft in the NBA playoffs is the best non-NFL weekend of the year by far. I didn't leave my place the whole damn weekend. I thought it was just draft playoffs.
So good. I think you can make an argument the Giants won the draft because New England didn't take their trade. It's reported yesterday that the Giants offered 6 and next year's number 1 for the third pick. And I'm like, oh, so they hoped to draft Drake May at 3, not add any weapons in the first round, just trade the pick, and have Drake May, a 21-year-old with high upside, but who was erratic at North Carolina, at put him behind that offensive line with those weapons. Guess what? I think that if they done that, they'd be drafting number 1 next year, and they'd be sending it to New England like Carolina just did. Like, the fact that the Giants now have next year's number 1, this year, you know, maybe Drew Lock plays, maybe Daniel Jones plays, but at least he has a weapon, and then next year you try to go find your quarterback. That, I think New England turning that trade down was a mistake they'll regret. I think that you could have gone to 6, gotten Giants number 1 next year, and at 6 we know Minnesota's willing to give you 11 and 23, so you could have had 11 and 23 to add players, your first rounder and the Giants first rounder next year, start Jacoby for a season, and then that's what I would have done if I were New England. But you know, New England's GM was auditioning for his job. He doesn't even have it yet. And the owner said, I want a quarterback. So I guess he's going to draft a quarterback.
Well, I had an executive in the league said, if you're the Giants, you are rooting for Bryce Young and Will Levis. Because then the only other team that's guaranteed to take a quarterback is the Raiders. So somebody said to me, you are rooting for Will Levis to hit and Bryce Young to hit if you're the Giants, because then it's like us and the Raiders need quarterbacks, and they'll be two good prospects. You know, Shadur Sanders, the kid Cam Ward at Miami, who's pretty interesting. Notre Dame got a transfer who's pretty interesting.
Quinn Ewers, people like him, and then there's one more that we're forgetting. That's the guy who's most likely to go number 1. I talked about it on the show today, so see if I can remember it. But I was just about to look, like, hold on a second. Who are the teams that
Raiders, Titans, Giants.
Oh, Carson Beck is the other one, the kid from Georgia.
I don't think he's a top 5 pick. I think he's Georgia good.
I think you're probably right. But if you look at, I was going to look through the NFL, like teams that, you know, Buffalo, no, Miami, no, the Jets are a maybe if Aaron gets hurt. Aaron gets hurt, you know what I mean? The Jets are a maybe. New England, no. Baltimore. Cleveland is a maybe. I don't know what that's a rough spot, man. But Pittsburgh's a maybe. So there's a bunch of maybes, but there's not a lot of definites. To your point, like when 6 quarterbacks go in round 1, everybody thinks they have a quarterback. You know what I mean? Like, there's just Go ahead, sorry.
And they'll at least give those quarterbacks till Thanksgiving of the second year. And so this executive said, the bottom line, if you're the Giants, he said, I don't think Will Levis is going to work. He said, I think Bryce will. He liked Bryce. He said, listen, Bryce is talented. He's not as big as you'd like, but they got him weapons. They got him a really good wide receiver. He's like, Bryce will move the chains. They'll stick with him. But he said, the Giants and the Raiders, that's it. That you're absolutely, and they're neither one's going to be any good. He said, so those are your top two potential picks.
Yeah, and for one of those teams, Tom Brady will probably play for him. So they won't need him.
Why not?
I mean, he wants to play football so badly. Like, I get it. I don't blame him. Did you see LeBron's quote? LeBron had a quote after the game that I thought was so fascinating. It was also almost a little sad. And it made me think of Brady to a degree, where LeBron said, I think, to Dave McMenamin, along the lines of, I'm never going to be bad. But at some point, I'm going to have to stop. And he basically said, like, you know, I'm not chasing anything anymore. I've accomplished everything I wanted to accomplish. But at some point, I've got to stop playing. And it was such a unique thing because I watched it. I'm like, yeah, he's never going to be. I mean, never's a long time, obviously. But I think 5 years from now, LeBron would be good. I do. Oh, yeah. You know what I mean? Right now, what is he? At best, the sixth best player in the league, and at worst, the 12th best player in the league. He's somewhere in there. You know what I mean? He's better, in my opinion, clearly, than Devin Booker, and Devin Booker's an all NBA guy.
And he led the NBA in fourth quarter buckets and playoff buckets.
And so, and he played 71 games. So it's such a unique spot for LeBron, which is like most guys get forced out. Most guys, you know what I mean? They have they're averaging 5 points a game. So he's not going to be that. So at some point, he's just going to have to be like, I guess I'm done. I'm stopping. And that's kind of what happened with Tom. Like, I understand the Bucks were not good Tom's last year, but the year before he almost won MVP, he still threw for a million yards.
He's better than half the quarterbacks today easily.
No question. No question. And he just stopped. And I understand there was family stuff he's dealing with. I get it. But I think every time someone puts a microphone in front of him, he clearly is like, God damn it, I want to play football. I miss playing football. And, you know, he's going to be with Fox and calling games, and maybe that'll scratch the itch. But it also might make him watch these guys and be like, God dog it, I'm better than that guy. You know, and so, like, it's weird spot. We're seeing two guys, LeBron nearing the end and Brady, who just ended, who played longer than anybody ever in the history of their field and at a higher level than anyone ever thought, who both, you know, Brady already had to, and LeBron's going to have to, are going to have to oddly make the decision of like, I guess I just should stop because I'm old, but I'm not bad. And it's such a weird thing. Like, people are like, oh, John Elway went out on top. John Elway went out winning Super Bowls, but he was not good anymore. Like, you know what I mean? I'm not disrespecting John, but like,
he was the same.
He was a shell of the player that he was. Peyton Manning went out winning a Super Bowl, was 9 touchdowns, 17 picks that year, was a shell. The guys who go out on top are usually not good anymore. So I don't know. You know what I mean? Brady seems to still miss it. I don't know what LeBron's going to do.
I'll tell you, Brady is, I'll probably get in trouble saying this, but Brady, his preparation for broadcasting at Fox, dude, he's in the building. He was in the building today.
You're not going to get in trouble for saying that.
He was in the building today. The next 3 days, he's in the building practicing. Like, Brady is as obsessed about this. People don't understand. The people
I think he's going to be great. I think he's going to be great because he's competitive.
Yes.
I think the key to so much of this is competitive.
Yes.
And I think that there is Tom had, and I don't know Tom at all, but he had recently, in the last year, he did an interview and he was talking about during the game and was basically about how, like, he hated who he was playing against. Like he would build up an anger and like the real like froth because he's competitive. And now I think he's going to look around and be like, I need to be better. And it helps that most of the other people in his spot are quarterbacks too. I need to be better than Troy. I need to be better than Tony. I know Collinsworth's not a quarterback, but I need to, I think he's going to want to be considered the best. And there was always, you remember, God, it feels like a lifetime ago, but during when Deflategate happened and Tom unfairly had his text messages leaked and the text message to his, I think it was his dad, maybe it was his friend about Peyton.
Yeah.
And they were talking about back and forth. And Tom said, he's like, yeah, but I'm going to play five more years and Peyton's done. And then it's not even going to be a debate. And by the way, he was right about that. That's exactly what happened. But I also think there's like a competitiveness with Peyton, which is Peyton's a broadcaster. You know what I mean? And everybody, unlike some of the other broadcasters, none of the Blooms, everybody, I think that broadcast is great. People love it. I think he's going to be like, I'm going to crush these guys.
Yeah.
I'm going to, I really do. So I bet he's going to be awesome.
Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney Plus. On Disney Plus, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truths and lies in the spy thriller The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney Plus, available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details.
This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
This is Colin Cowherd from The Herd with Colin Cowherd. Angie's List is now Angie, the nation's largest home service marketplace. They're here to help homeowners get all their jobs done well. Angie has helped over 150 million homeowners care for their homes. Whatever your home project, big, small, indoor, outdoor, come to Angie to connect with and hire skilled pros to get the job done well.
Listen, I've got a couple of things in the bathroom in my house. Got to get it fixed. I don't have time, and I'm not good at it. Angie is. With just a few taps on the app, you can have Angie tackle your home service project start to finish.
With over 200,000 pros in their network, Angie makes it easy to research, compare, and hire pros to ensure a job done well. With 29 years of experience combined with new digital tools to simplify the process, Angie makes completing home projects really easy. It's your one-stop shop. Angie can help you find the best price for your project by comparing quotes from multiple pros in just a few taps or book services at an upfront price based on local data. They get the difficulties that can come with home projects. They get it. Why not make it as simple as possible? Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com or download the app today.
I think about this a lot, because I do criticize athletes at times about how remarkable athletes are. So if you look at the history of comedy, you get to be the funniest guy in the world for about 3 to 5 years. Ben Stiller, Jim Carrey, there was Drew Carey 25 years ago, Mike Myers.
Yeah, by the way, you're very charitable to include Ben Stiller on the funniest guy in the world list. He's pretty good. Pretty good, but go ahead. Maybe he's a friend. I don't know who you're having drinks with, but go ahead.
So if you go look at, you know, Chris Rock, Jerry Seinfeld, yes. Larry David, you know, where you're sort of...
Chappelle. Yeah, Chappelle. Those guys.
Yeah. So, and then it's very hard to be as funny because your life experience changes dramatically because there's so much money in movies and production when you get big.
That's right. Yeah, of course.
Hip-hop stars, similarly. First couple albums can be fantastic. And then the material changes.
It's hard. Yeah.
Athletes, what's really amazing is athletes are almost the opposite. Mahomes is better since he's been paid. LeBron was better when he was paid. Is that athletes, unlike other entertainers, often feel a guilt or a pressure to elevate their greatness when they're paid. It's very rare when you look at athletes, they get paid, and I'm sure it happens, but I'm talking—
Well, it happens not to the great ones. That's the difference between the great ones and everyone else. Because I think that when you talk about getting paid, but I think that at every step of your athletic journey, there has been a getting paid, but not actually money, moment where you could relax. You know what I mean? The kid who, when he makes varsity as a freshman, takes his foot off the gas, doesn't get the college scholarship. And the kid who, when he goes to college, is a starter early on and takes foot off the gas, doesn't make the league. So it almost, you know what I mean? It slowly but surely weeds those people out because it's such a finite number and there's always a new crop of people coming for those jobs.
Also, is that in hip hop, when you win, you're worshipped by everybody. In comedy, when you're the king of laughs, you are worshipped by everybody. In sports, when you win, most of the league hates you. So in sports, greatness does not equal worship outside of your town. It equals kind of a villain, kind of a target. And that's why music critics tend to be too soft. And you know, movie critics are, you know, they're too in bed with them. Music and movie critics and Hollywood. When's the last really tough reporter that Hollywood had? They don't. So it goes to your head. In music, it doesn't work that way. But the media in sports kicks the shit out of you. Once you're great, it's like, well, you weren't good last week against Cleveland.
And also,
there's a healthy accountability that doesn't exist in comedy, movies, music. This accountability, standings, criticism that I think actually it's like being tough on your kids. It builds character.
So I think you might have just solved, might not be the right word, but you just said something that really crystallized something for me. Okay. We might have just, like, I feel like this is a real thing that just happened. Because you're talking about the difference between athletes and artists.
Yes.
And I'm really not trying to be unfair or take a shot. But there are two specific NBA players that I think, as great as they are, have markedly underachieved their talent and ability, even though they are one of them's one of the 20 greatest players ever, and one of them is one of the 10 most skilled players ever. And I think both of them view themselves more artist than athlete. And those two guys are Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving. And I think a lot of what has worked against them and a lot of what they have pushed against is that they are covered like they're athletes and not like they're artists. That it is a lot of criticism and a lot of why did you do this and a lot of but you didn't do that and comparative stuff that athletes are used to. But they're like, we're fucking artists, man. I am out here painting a picture and you're asking me these questions. It's like, just appreciate the art. Meanwhile, other folks who look at themselves as, I don't want to say hired guns, but we are in competition and we are here to win and to, you know, to do what we have to do, haven't been as bothered by the media criticism. But it does, Katie and Kyrie, who, and again, Kyrie, to his credit, has been unbelievable this year, and Katie post-Achilles is the best Achilles recovery in sports history. So I'm not trying to be unfair. It really is. I'm not trying to be unfair and I'm not trying to take a shot. But they really seem to both struggle with the way they are covered by the media. And what you just described about how artists, musicians, or actors, or comedians are covered by the media is different than how we do athletes. We don't do when a movie when there is a huge movie release weekend, when Barbie and Oppenheimer come out the same weekend, there were no articles written like, well, fucking Oppenheimer, how'd you not win that? People are just like, this was awesome. This was even more awesome. These are both great. Like it's, and so that I think there is something there, and maybe I didn't describe it exactly right, but about the difference between how athletes and artists are discussed and whether or not you consider yourself an athlete or an artist and how you want to then be discussed and how you feel you should be discussed.
I also think basketball more than any sport, and soccer has some of this as well. I've always compared basketball to international soccer. Messi is an artist. Ronaldo is an artist. Kevin Durant's an artist. Tom Brady's a football player, right? Like Mike Trout's a baseball player. That's different. But basketball.
Yeah, I don't think LeBron's an artist.
No, no, he's more compartmentalized and strategic. Yes. Artists aren't. They kind of hear, I mean, very much LeBron's a stacker, compartmentalized, work on this part of the game, solve this part. Kevin Durant's not looking to solve. Kyrie Irving's not looking to solve parts of their game. They're looking to paint their most beautiful picture.
Yeah.
Kyrie had it the other night with that layup over three Clippers.
Yes. Yes, exactly right. Like that kind, even though that kind of was. And there is something beautiful about this and honorable about it, where it's like that Kyrie has worked for, he's 32, so call it 25 years on every little bit of his ability in order to pull off that one moment. And I know he's obviously done way more than that, but I'm saying like that was of physics and basketball impossibility.
It was incredible.
Until
we saw it. It was his Mona Lisa. It was his.
Yes, exactly right. It was, and it was like, oh, you are probably literally the only human being who's ever lived who could do that. Like, I believe that. I really believe that.
Yeah.
And I think there's for Kyrie, he's like, and God damn it, you guys still critic. Like, do you not see it? Like, do you not understand? But because it's sports, we're like, yeah, but you lost and you haven't been in the finals in 8 years because it's sports. And so, yeah, I do think there is, I want to think about this more because you said it in real time. But I do think there is something really to that. And I think there is, I'm going to start like looking at, because you know, another guy who I think was, as much as you can be in football, closer to artist than athlete, is my pal Odell.
Yeah.
I think there was a lot of like, look at this show I am putting on.
Of course.
Look at what I can do that I have worked on and honed and the beauty of it.
Yeah.
And then, but he's also a guy who never felt he was given a fair shake by the media.
Right.
You know what I mean? Who never felt it was that it was, that he was covered fairly.
I called an NFL head coach on Will Levis's combine when he was wearing a shirtless.
Yes.
Ripped. It was very Brady Quinn. And I said, I'm out on him. And he goes, Colin, this is an NFL head coach, successful coach. He said, Colin, it was the talk of a road trip me and the GM went on recently. That was the talk of the road. He cares deeply about his girlfriend was beautiful. He's a good-looking guy, big man on campus in Kentucky, a basketball school. He's the football star. Will Levis's, I'm going to show you my build. Literally, a successful GM and coach said they went on a drive, and it was the topic of conversation. Well, like, he's got the wrong priorities.
On that note, and we can you know, leave it at this, I am shocked. So I don't know if you saw this reporting, but Spencer Rattler evidently was on a Netflix doc 6 years ago when he was in high school. Did you see any of this, Colin?
No.
Okay. No. So there was LeBron's company produced a Netflix documentary called QB1.
Yeah.
And it was basically, they followed around, I didn't see it, some top high school quarterback prospects on their journey. You know what I mean? Like, what's it like to be one of the top prospects in America as a 16-year-old? 16. And evidently Spencer Rattler was a real dick as a kid.
Yeah.
Was mean to his backup quarterback, was a bit of a bully, was kind of like your stereotypical mean popular jock. And Ian Rappaport reported that multiple teams brought it up to him before the draft.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, we and it's like, dude, this guy was literally 16 years old. Like, I don't know, man. Like, please don't use against me at a job interview how I treated people. Like, come on. And so here's why I bring that up. I don't even care about Spencer Rattler in that regard. I am shocked no one has talked about what Shedeur Sanders, and to be fair, Deion, have been doing these last couple days, just punching down
Incredible.
At guys that left the school. And if you're Deion, and I have massive respect for Deion in general, but if you're Deion, it's like, man, this guy was one of your players.
Yeah.
And you're like, where are your stats at? Like, you are one of the most famous athlete coaches in America. And this is a 20-year-old. Like, that doesn't seem right. But then Shedeur, like, buddy, people are talking about you as the number one pick of the draft. And you're on Twitter just shit-talking guys. Like, I can't imagine that's not going to be a problem in a year.
Oh,
I just
oh,
can't.
No. It's already being discussed. It's absolutely being discussed in the league. It's not a good look at all.
That's what I think. I think, like, listen, any position other than quarterback, I don't think people would care.
Same.
Travis
same.
Hunter, who's going to be a top 10 pick on Colorado.
I almost like it from an edge rusher. I want him to be obnoxious.
I mean, there's certainly a corner. Like, there are certain spots, you know what I mean? Like, Travis Hunter, you can play corner or wide receiver. It's like, oh, okay, the guy's a little out of his mind. You know what I mean? Maybe, you know, talks in the third person. Great. Love it. I've actually seen that archetype go to the Hall of Fame. Fair or not. And again, I'm not even saying it's right. What I am saying is, if Spencer Rattler can fall a full round, as Rappaport was talking about, because of how he acted as a junior in high school.
Yeah.
Then what are these same teams going to be saying about someone who knows they're a potential top 10 pick?
Yeah.
In 12 months. It just seems wild.
Nick, it's a glaring lack of self-awareness. It's really bad. It's being discussed. And I think it's the difference between going 1 and 15.
The Volume.
Thanks so much for listening. If you've enjoyed the podcast, take a moment, rate, and review. Summer is heating up because your favorites are now together with Hulu on Disney+. On Disney+, the TARDIS has landed for a new epic adventure in Doctor Who. Now streaming on Hulu, uncover a deadly game of truths and lies in the spy thriller, The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. Now streaming Hulu on Disney+. Available with a Disney Bundle subscription. Terms apply. Visit DisneyPlus.com/Hulu for details. Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlansport.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.